is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. We're going live to Salem today with State Representative Cedric Hayden. Thanks for being on with us again.
That's a pleasure to be on with you again, Kyle. We are here in the Capitol today, those of us that are allowed to be in the Capitol. So that's me and a couple of my staff members are here. As the public may not be aware, but Salem is meeting on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock for floor sessions. That's where we get together and talk about the bills that are going to be coming up or being first read. And next week, we start Monday and Tuesday, and we do anticipate to start to get some legislation to the floor pretty soon to actually vote on. Now we're just in the prep mode, bringing legislation forward to committees. And next week, we anticipate that some bills will be coming out of committees, but that's very few at this point.
So for these floor sessions, what percentage of lawmakers are there at the Capitol?
Yeah, so I didn't look up at the board today, but I did. It's really, without looking at the board, it's hard to judge because a lot are present up in the balconies. We're pretty spread out. But we have to have 40 there. I think we probably had about 12 or 15 that weren't present today that did have legitimate excuses not to be there. And at the time where we're only just still first reading bills or moving there, there's more that aren't here in the Capitol. As soon as we actually start moving bills, that will drop down to about 57 or 58 of us will be here in the Capitol building.
Because it's only one day a week, is it still sort of the setup that the lawmakers that live the furthest away are the maybe the least likely to be there in person right now?
Yeah, I think that holds true, although it's not completely true because sometimes they have reasons to come up to work on bills or work with legislative attorneys here to, you know, get their concepts through. We do a lot of that with emails, but sometimes being in the building helps to move those things along. So generally, I think that's true. Some of the folks that live further away aren't as likely to be here at this time, which kind of makes sense because there's not a reason other than procedural for them to be here at this point.
So right now, at this point in the process, are you looking at proposed state budgets from different departments, or are we to that point yet?
Yeah, we are. We don't have the final May forecast, but since last time we talked, there has been a forecast that came out that has a lot of people here in the building and probably others chatting. You may have seen a little bit on the news about it. The one thing that kind of popped out from the news media standpoint is that the forecast is looking healthier than anybody had anticipated. And what that means that if the forecast were to hold where they're anticipating it now is that there's going to be a kicker again during this tax cycle. Corporate kicker of $420 million would be estimated to help out our education, our schools. That's where the corporate now by our Oregon Constitution goes to, not back to the companies that produce that. But the individual kicker right now, $571 million would be credited back to the 2021 taxpayers that file for that year. Although this is still, you know, kind of blue sky at this point, but the surprise was that revenue is up.
And a lot of people were surprised about that. I've talked to a couple of other lawmakers since the announcement came out. What are your thoughts about what that does as you're looking at these budgets? Does it allow for more increases, or do you feel like you should be more fiscally conservative and kind of pull back?
Well, so going into this session, we're seeing a lot. We're seeing an eye-popping amount of, you know, dollars wanting to be raised in this session, whether that's through fees or new taxes, things like that. And so I think, you know, as we went through the interim, you know, a lot of our counterparts were figuring out, oh, you know, we're going to be shy revenue. Where do we make it up? And so there's examples of bills, and I'll just run through a couple of them, of where they can make that up. There's a new bill out by Representative Prusak that was Bill 3296. That increases $750 million in beer tax and $750 million in wine tax over a two-year period. That's a 2,000% and 3,000% increase on taxation of those products. And so that's just an example of, boy, that's a pretty big overreach. I don't know that even that overreach could get approved. Another one that I'm concerned about is House Bill 2674. It has a dash one amendment on it, but this is a taxation of pretty much any farm implement that drives and the tires. We're talking about diesel vehicles or small tractors, tax on off-road fuel, which isn't taxed now, doesn't have a road tax. So they want to put a tax on that, a tax on the tires on that vehicle, tax on light and heavyweight trucks. And so basically really hit our farmer industry there. So I'm concerned about that. A lot of fee increases across the board, whether that's from professional associations, you know, medical licenses, dental licenses, x-ray licenses, things like that. A lot of fee increases that we're seeing. So there was an anticipation that they would need to raise fees. And so those bills are now in the pipeline that we're going to have to look at and try and slow that down.
And I saw in the past few days relating to the alcohol tax, some of the wine industry folks being very nervous about that, saying, hey, it's already been a tough year economically with being open or partially open or not open. And that's impacted Oregon wineries to a great degree. Is this push workable at a time when they're already down?
I really don't think that is. But again, some of this is, you know, I've been convinced over being in my fourth term that some of these just outrageous increases, 2,000% increases, 3,000% increases, are maybe by design that the bill was written that way. And then the folks that are supporting that come back and say, oh, well, we didn't really mean that. We're going to make that a 20% increase. Where if they would have come with a 20% increase, that's all people would have seen is like, hey, you're going to increase my beer and wine tax by 20%. And so kind of there's this, well, look at this huge, you know, multi-billion dollar increase on our beer and wine for 2 years, or a billion, a little over $1 billion. But if we only make it 20%, then that's more amenable is kind of the concept. So we need to avoid getting in that trap. But I, you know, as written, I don't see any hope for that.
And along the same light, you mentioned the second one relating partially to agriculture equipment and diesel engines and other things. Similar questions would come up there about the impact on some of our industries in the state.
Yeah, certainly. And that was House Bill 2674. And, you know, it's basically if you drive a diesel vehicle, or we have, you know, we have what we call green diesel and red diesel, if you're familiar with it. And the red diesel is literally dyed a different color. And that what might go in your John Deere tractor or something like that. And we don't have to pay a road tax on that. And so this bill is bringing into effect any of the off-road diesel use for a tax, an additional tax on, you know, tires for trucks and things like that. So, you know, these folks that are out there, small businesses, whether you drive one or two dump trucks around to make a living or drive a log truck or something like that, you also have to buy those tires to run that, which are very expensive. And, you know, a lot of them got shut down during this pandemic. And as we hopefully open back up, we're going to have to make up that revenue that they lost, even though the state, because of federal funding and whatnot, is looking like it's doing okay. That doesn't mean that the individual household budget is matching up with that revenue forecast. So we want to avoid putting any additional burden, and we'd like to lighten their burden personally, but we certainly don't want to put an additional tax burden on those folks.
Now, the House, meaning Washington, D.C., has passed another stimulus bill. Senate is looking at that. Not sure how that's going to come out. What's the maybe the hope from state lawmakers about additional federal help coming to the state of Oregon?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. You're talking about $1.9 trillion that passed through the House or passed through Congress there on the House side. Now, the Senate hasn't taken up that bill. And so we have Congress people, of course, representing us there from Oregon. And it was interesting. We had a split. Schrader and Bentz voted against that. And Schrader was one of the only, I think, one of two Democrat votes that voted no on that. And then, of course, we got Peter DeFazio and our other Congress people there that voted for that. So on the Congress side or on the Senate side, if we do see a split like we saw, although it wasn't a big split, but there was a split, if we do see that on the Senate side, you know, there's a chance that that wouldn't move forward because those margins are really thin. So we'll have to see what Wyden and Merkley do. And one of the concerns that even Congressman Schrader said that there's just too big of a bill, too many dollars in there that, you know, go to not individual help, but go to government help, state help. Now, of course, that's what, you know, the agencies and whatnot in the state of Oregon are hoping for. So I really don't have an answer on where that's going to go. We'll have to see what D.C. does on the Senate side at this point.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with State Representative Cedric Hayden live from Salem. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook on True Wealth Radio. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll talk about Problem Gambling Awareness Month in the month of March. Katie Atkins, the ADAPT Prevention and Education Program Director, will be in studio to talk about that. We're live from Salem with State Representative Cedric Hayden. With all the things that are going on right now, last week, I believe it was, the Senate GOP, a no-show for an in-person hearing. You're in the other chamber, but what was maybe the reaction of the Republicans in your chamber to that move?
Well, it was kind of quiet. I will say, you know, I'm one of the assistant leaders in the House side, and I wasn't aware of that move, and so it was, you know, kept very quiet that they weren't going to show up for that day to the Senate floor. So, you know, our side, at least, I wasn't aware that was happening. And so I can't tell you other than what was reported out there why that was. But I think there's a big concern with, you know, how the governor is handling some of the things that's taking place, like the slow walk for schools to be reopened in some areas. Now, I sit on the COVID committee and had the pleasure of one of our superintendents from Eastern Oregon that had 17 school districts under his jurisdiction there, and 10 of those school districts are now fully in person opened, and 7 are partially and heading that way. And so we do have two different Oregons here as that approach. And then there's been a lot of concern about how the COVID vaccination has been prioritized, or as people become eligible for that. We have kind of diverted a long ways from CDC recommendations on those vaccine priorities, which would typically include, you know, our most senior people and people with underlying medical conditions, and then go to our frontline workers and, you know, kind of the national trend for that has been pretty solid, and Oregon has taken a pretty strong deviation from its approach to that. So I think that's probably, was their protest, if you will. But again, I wasn't part of that discussion.
Do you feel like there's still a lot of tension between Republicans and Democrats, at least as it applies in your chamber?
Well, we haven't gotten to that point yet from my perspective. There is a lot of discussions, evening phone calls, this and that, between being, vice chair of several committees and working with the chairs and what controversial bills will move forward. But in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have to be moving bills and voting on them and having the discussions with these controversial bills. So far, we've just had hearings, and most of those bills haven't been controversial. Now, I will tell you that, inside the building and on the phone calls, I feel like we do have a pretty good working relationship, but often have different points of views.
And talk about some of the things you are working on legislatively now. If I remember from our conversation last week, any bill that's going to have to be or that's going to get considered has already been introduced. Was that right?
Yeah, and so what I mean introduced is that it had to be with the lawyers, be written, be approved by the lawmaker, and then turned into what we call a chief clerk's office, and gets a bill number. So that happened last week, and so those last bills that are coming through the pipeline were first read today. I don't know that 100%, but there were 60 bills first read. We're in the mid 3,000 numbers, getting closer to 4,000. Bills that are in the pipeline. There is still the opportunity for every lawmaker to have 5 additional bills coming forward, and then agency and governor's office are able to bring forward more bills. So within that, 2 of them were my bills, my concepts that I brought forward. One is that was first read today. One is to help our volunteer firefighters get access to the charitable tax donation program that we have in the state of Oregon. There's a variety. I think there's 17 charities that qualify for that, but they have to get I think it's 10,000 signatures that they have to get to be part of that program. And so our volunteer firefighters just really don't have that large swath of organization to be able to get out there. And they've got a time constraint on when they can get this legislatively approved opportunity for them through. And so with COVID, they haven't been able to do that. So I'm trying to suspend the signature to allow them to get into that program. Another one is in some areas of our state, which probably won't make sense to a lot of my constituents, people aren't allowed to grow produce and food on their own properties. And so I'm working with one that's more of a metropolitan flavor to that, to share the ideas that people can grow food on their own property, and that can be a good thing. So another bill there, and then a third one that I'm working on is peer respites, a new approach to mental health services and recovery in the state of Oregon, which I believe we badly need in our state.
With your background in the medical field, is there anything related to medical issues that look interesting in this session?
So, I mean, if you get into the funding of how the programs goes for Medicaid on a larger scale, I've been assigned to a work group on the waiver. It's called 1115 waiver. This is the large scale approval from the federal government that allows us to run or helps fund about 76% of our CCOs. So there's that process. It's a 5-year waiver. I was on the waiver committee last time around, so we're looking at that. And there's a lot of interest in what they call community benefit, which means, how is your health affected by your housing or, your lack of housing, things like that, that contribute to health benefit, and where will the federal government go? So a lot of discussions are around that. How will the waiver be formed? Because every state gets to write their own plan, basically. other things, a little more controversial. There seems to be more scope of practice. That's on the medical side between one board and another board. As a representative, I like the boards to work out their issues themselves and not come to us. So I'm generally not a big supporter of scope of practice bills, just, you know, on the outside, but we seem to have a whole handful of those. Different boards feeling like they're encroaching on another board's area. So those are always interesting bills, and people are very passionate about them.
For our economic conditions right now, Douglas County back in extreme, Lane County going the other way in high. Anything you've heard from folks in the business community about just how they've been struggling to keep afloat these days?
Well, we're hearing, we get lots and lots of emails from small business owners that just say, I'm drowning. I can't make it. I got to reopen here. And then, the reversal in Douglas County is hitting some of those folks. So, without giving specific names, but we get a lot of input and from that. Now, in Lane County, we did take a small step down. And so they're able to get to what Douglas County was last time. And I actually got to take every Sunday morning, I take one of my kids out for a quote unquote date. And so I had that with my 10-year-old daughter, and we finally got to go to a sit-in, in-person restaurant. And so, that's nice to be able to do that little bit. But no, we're hearing a lot from constituents that, the restrictions are not able to allow them to continue and flourish in their businesses. And I'm very sympathetic to that.
And a final question before we go, what do you think is the top thing you're working on right now?
Well, for me, from a medical standpoint, it's my peer respites. Lambert Weekly came out with a news article saying, hey, here's a bipartisan support with some pretty well-placed lawmakers that have a new approach to the mental health crisis we have in Oregon. And Oregon is one of the least effective states in the U.S. to deal with mental health.
All right. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on.
Thank you, sir.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.